Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
What's up, everybody? I'm Mitch. I'm so excited to be here. I'm always so excited when I have the opportunity to speak to you. I'm on the teaching team here, so if I haven't gotten to meet you yet, I'm sorry. Talk to me after service. I would love to talk to you. I'm also excited for today because we are doing the VIV Awards, as we just saw. We have volunteers that have put so much time into making this volunteer appreciation event happen, and I was thinking about like wearing leather pants or something because we're doing like a celebrity rock star thing, but I don't have any. So I was thinking Lewis or Chris probably have some because they used to be in bands. So I would love to get some of your leather pants, Chris. Or maybe you have some of those like leather like leggings that like girls are wearing now. Like, I want those. Let me get some. If you have them, give them to me after service. But we are in our Be Hope series where we are talking about serving. We are talking about community service and why we do it and how we do it. And the reason we're talking about those things is because on Saturday, June 6th, we are doing, which is this coming Saturday, we're doing a thing called Day of Hope, where Compass and our family of churches are partnering together, and we're putting on this big community service project. Multiple things are going on. If you want information, it's in your welcome packet, like the announcement said. It's online at compassbn.com, so please go check out the information there and sign up, because it's going to be a lot of fun. And the other thing I like about this series is that I feel like it's answered the questions that I've had about serving. I had questions when I knew that we were doing a series about serving. It was like, well, why should I be serving, or how do I do it? And those are the things that I feel like we've been answering. And it's been cool because it's been like this natural progression of ideas so far. We started 2 weeks ago, and that's when Chris from the beaches of Alabama, we watched a video sermon because he wasn't able to get here. His brakes on his van broke while in Alabama, which... let me tell you. Okay, so this is totally a side note. I got an email from Chris 2 days before he was supposed to send, or he was supposed to be here to preach the first week of Be Hope, and it was his sermon notes, and the subject line just said "just in case," and that was it. That was the email, and I was like, "This is really stressful. I don't know what this means." And he was supposed to be here on time. Everything was as normal. Like, I didn't know any different. So I was like, "Okay, I'll look over him, whatever." But I hope that just in case doesn't happen. And then the next day, some of us here at Compass got a group text, and it was like, "Hey guys, we're not going to be there on Sunday." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." Like, he was like, "Yeah, total like accident. We had no idea it was going to happen." And I was like, "No, you knew it was going to happen. That's why you sent me that email on Friday before you told all of us." So he's been trying to play it off, like showing us videos of them like going into the auto repair shop and stuff. I call bull crap. I don't think that's real. Like, I really don't. I got the text. I got the email. It's fake. Let's just, everyone give Chris and Terry a hard time after service, okay? But, so that was the first week. We talked about you are someone's hope. Each and every single one of us in this room is hope to somebody in this community and in our lives. And the reason that is because when we serve other people, we open the door for Jesus to move in bigger ways than we could ever imagine. We can only do so much. The rest is up to Jesus, and he takes the biggest part of that serving, and he does beyond what we could ever imagine with it. And then last week, Pastor Joel from First Assembly of God here in Normal, a part of our family of churches, he shared with us, and he shared with us the concept of how we serve. So Chris kind of talked about why we serve and what happens when we serve the other person, and then Joel kind of showed us practically how can we do it. And he talked really about having intentional relationships. He talked about moving from crowds to conversations, and he was basically telling us that when we have the relationships we do in our lives, we need to be intentional. We need to be asking questions. We can be praying with people because, again, we have no idea the opportunities we could be missing in the people's lives that are in our lives because we maybe never took that step to ask that question, to pray with someone. And that's how we can serve somebody. But then this week, I kind of want to answer or ask a question, hopefully answer it, that a question that I've had all the while we've been talking about these things. And I understand what they've been saying, and I get it, and I think it's great. But the question I still have is, well, what's in it for me? Why am I serving? What what happens? And that might seem kind of selfish. That might seem like a bad question to be asking. You might not think that that's something you would want to ask about serving, because serving seems like it's just this generous act that we do to people. And, you know, it's not about us. And that's true. It's not about us ultimately. But the question I want to ask is, what's in it for me? What happens in my life when I serve somebody else? And the reason I'm asking is because we all know that we couldn't just continually serve and serve and serve and give, because we would get tired. We would get exhausted. We would run out of energy, and it just wouldn't work. And I'm having some of these similar questions when it comes to my schooling. Like Chris said, I'm still in college. I just finished my junior year, which is awesome. I'm so much closer to the end than I ever thought, but it seems like it's so far away. I only have one semester of classes left in the fall. And then in the spring, I go on internship for credit at Lincoln Christian University, where I go to school. And it's kind of weird. I'm sitting here and I'm like done with my third year, and it's summer, and I'm just kind of thinking about college and like the fact that I'm ending soon. And I'm like, man, like you would think that after 3 years, like I'd feel a little bit smarter or something like than when I started, or I would at least know some more facts, or at least be able to pretend like I knew something. And I guess to a degree that's true, but ultimately all the questions I've been asking are, well, what was in it for me, this whole college thing? Like, what am I supposed to get out of it again? Because I'm coming to the end and I'm just like confused, and I don't really know how to feel or what I should know or how I should like be an adult. Like, I don't understand how to adult. That's weird, you know? Like, I'm 21. I don't understand. And so part of me is like, man, these questions are weird. Like, I don't want to be asking these questions. The other part of me is like, well, wouldn't it be kind of weird if I wasn't asking these questions? I mean, I hope that I'm not the only one that when they came to the end of their college career asked some questions. Because if I am, then just give me the answer and we can be done here and I'll walk off stage. That would be great. But it's kind of like I feel weird about asking these questions, and I also don't, because it feels normal. So what's in it for me? What's in it for me when it comes to school? And like I said, these can be scary thoughts when I'm personally thinking about school, or maybe when we're asking these questions about serving, because a lot of us throughout our lives have just been told to serve. Being a good Christian means we serve, and a lot of times it's just kind of like a pouring out of ourselves, a loss of energy, and it's like, well, like, does serving only count if it sucks? Like, does it only get credit with God if I don't like to do it? Because it'd be weird if we liked to do it, or if we got something out of it, right? And it's like, it's weird, because as we serve, we lose this energy, and I think it's because we don't know the incentive. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is the incentive for us to serve, because we do a lot of things for incentives. Like I said, I'm in school, and I in the fall, I took a 21 credit hour semester, and I also worked on campus, and I was involved on student leadership, and I was trying to do stuff here at Compass too. And that was the busiest I'd ever been in my entire life, easily, without a doubt. But I wasn't just doing it because there were so many class options that I just wanted to take all these classes. It was because I knew what doing 21 credit hour semester would get me. I knew the incentive. The incentive was, because at LCU we have 130 hour degrees instead of 120. I needed to get in extra credits in order to get out within 4 years. So I took 21 credits. I knew what was in it for me. And when we know what's in it for us, no matter what it is we're doing, it makes it a little bit easier. It doesn't drain us as much. Yes, it was tiring. I stayed up way too late, got up way too early, did too many papers and projects and all this stuff. But I knew what was in it for me. I knew at the end of the day, it was going to get me out of school on budget, on time, and it would allow me to have a more focused internship experience, because I wouldn't have to take classes while I'm gone in the spring. And you might be doing this in your life. You might be taking on extra responsibility at work because, you know, that your coworker are out on vacation. Or maybe like my dad, he's taking on extra responsibility because his coworker is having a baby. She's out for 8 weeks. And so he's taking on this extra responsibility for 8 weeks. But he knows the outcome. He knows that then when she comes back, things won't be chaotic. Things will not be crazy because he got the slack. He kept it together while she was gone. And so maybe you do that. Maybe you're working at work because you need to put food on the table. But what would happen if you stopped getting paid? the incentive would be gone, and all of a sudden work becomes just this kind of meaningless, pointless, exhausting thing that you do every single day. And serving's the same way. Serving is the exact same way. If we don't know the incentive, it can get exhausting. But when we do know it, it becomes all worth it because we know what's in it for us. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And asking these questions is not something that is just this new concept that I stumbled upon as I was preparing to speak. Like, this thing has been something that people have wrestled with, that people have asked about, that people have talked about forever. There are people in the Bible that ask these questions, and there are also people in the Bible that don't need incentives for serving. There's actually only one. His name is Jesus. And so we're going to look at a story from Jesus's life today, and we are going to learn about what it is, what's in it for us, what is in serving for us, the incentive to serve. And we are going to look at a story from Jesus's life to do that. So the story starts in John chapter 13, right in verse 1. And it says this. It says, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father." So just pause there. Passover celebration. Passover was like this 8-day holiday. It is an 8-day holiday in the Jewish faith, and they were just probably going to have a party. Jesus and his disciples were probably going to eat food together. That's what we do. We do that today when we get together to watch the Super Bowl or for Christmas or whatever. We get together and eat with our friends. That's all that means. And Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world. He knew that the reason he was on earth was ultimately to die. And that was to die for our sins. And he was well aware of that. And he also was well aware that it was coming closer and closer to happening in his life. So Jesus is getting ready to go to this party. But while he's walking to his friend's house or whatever, you know, just what's on his mind is the fact that, man, I'm scared to be crucified. Because while Jesus is, yes, 100% God, he's also 100% human. And just like all of us, we would also be scared to be crucified. I would never be able to stop thinking about how scared I would be if that was a reality in my life. Jesus probably couldn't either. He knew why he was doing it, but he didn't necessarily want to be. So he was obeying God by going through with that. The verse continues. It says, "He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. He knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God." So all of that being said, what's on Jesus's mind is weighing him down. He's aware that he's going to die soon. He's aware that he doesn't want to do it, but he's going to obey God and go through with it. Part of that is that he's going to go to this Passover celebration with his disciples. And like it says he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and he was going to love them to the very end of his ministry on earth, which means he was going to love them up to his crucifixion. And that's what he's doing here. So within this, we learn that Jesus is, yes, stressed, but also he's going through and obeying God. The story continues, and it says, "Jesus got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him." So let's talk about feet for a little bit. Yeah, they're kind of gross. They're kind of weird. They're like hands with shorter fingers, but the hand part is longer. And like when you think about it that way, it gets really weird. Like I don't understand what feet are when I think about it that way. I'm like, I look down, I'm like, what the heck's going on in my shoes right now? But okay, so feet, they're gross. Like just even when they're clean, it's like, oh, they're kind of gross. And like they might be dry, and like you might have to use a pumice stone. Like I used a pumice stone for a while because I was like, my feet got to look on fleek. Am I right? Or no? But story. I would go to a music festival every summer. Oh, I still do. It changed its name and it looks different, but it was called Cornerstone Music Festival. Me and Austin would go together, and it was awesome, and we love it. But at Cornerstone, I would wear flip-flops all the time because it was just like a million degrees, and you just like were sweating, and you didn't shower for 6 days because you just like saw your favorite bands like just one after the other for like 6 days straight, and it was awesome. But I would always wear these flip-flops, and where we camped, what you did, you took a tent, and you would camp just in this open grass field, and you just, you know, put your tent up, and like that's where you lived for 6 days, and then you just lived there, saw bands. That's all you have to do. There's no cell service, like your phone dies, and there's no electricity. It's awesome. It sounds terrible. I know that you think it sounds terrible, but let me tell you, It's the best week that I've ever experienced in my life. It seriously gets me so excited. I love it so much. But so at Cornerstone, I would wear flip-flops. Awesome. Well, where we would walk, we had this super long, just like gravel dust road that we would have to walk on in order to get up to like where everything was, where all the stages were, because there's multiple stages, multiple bands. Awesome. And we would walk, and so just 6 days after no showering and like wearing flip-flops in the dirt, and they had this water truck that would pour water all over the roads because it would get super dusty because it was like 105 every single day. And so I would just walk around, and like my feet were disgusting. And I think Austin took a picture of my feet one day, and I thought about putting it up here, but it's like seriously disgusting. It's just like this black layer of just dirt on my feet from walking around at Cornerstone for 6 days. And those are the kind of feet that Jesus is washing in this story. His disciples, they wore sandals all the time. They didn't have asphalt streets to walk on. They didn't have cars to drive around. They were walking everywhere, and where they were walking was dirty, it was muddy, and it was probably covered in animal feces because animals were walking in the same streets as they were. And so Jewish tradition says that, you know, when you walk into someone's house, you take off your sandals, and one of the host's servants would get down, and they would wash your feet, and then you are presentable for the evening, for dinner, or whatever you're doing at your friend's house or whoever's house you're going to. And it's like, that doesn't sound like that fun of a job. I mean, I don't think any one of you would want to have washed my feet after Cornerstone just because you're a nice person. It's like, that is a job of a servant. That's the position that Jesus took, though, because he was loving his disciples to the very end of his ministry here on earth. And so Jesus took this position as a servant, and he did it because he was loving his disciples, but he also did it because he was obeying God. And so in that, we learn that when we want to serve God, a way that we can do that is serve other people in our lives. When we serve others, we're serving God. Jesus shows us that right here. And you would think that like probably most people would be pretty okay with Jesus washing their feet. I mean, it'd be kind of awkward. It'd be probably pretty gross. You'd be like, oh gosh, Jesus, like I just stepped in like some donkey manure like just 4 seconds before walking into the door. But like, I guess if you want to wash my feet, you can. But like not everybody necessarily was okay with it. Peter actually kind of rejects Jesus washing his feet. And this is where the story picks up in verse 6. It says, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm going to do, but someday you will. Peter protested, no, you will never, ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. And so I think that one of the coolest things about this passage, these couple verses, is Peter's response and how quickly it changes. So Jesus is like, it says that he's like in a towel around his waist. So it's like, looks like Jesus just got out of the shower. So like, that's probably kind of awkward. But he has this towel around his waist. He's washing all of his best friend's feet. And it's probably just in general an uncomfortable situation. But I'm sure that people are thankful. Awesome. Peter's like, wait, I don't deserve for you to wash my feet. Like you, Jesus, God, are going to wash my feet. Like not only are they dirty, but like I literally do not deserve for you to be washing any part of me. And Jesus is like, well, okay, like if you don't want me to do it, like you can't belong to me. And then Peter's like, well, okay. And I imagine him, he like starts ripping off his shirt and like starts undoing his belt. And he's like, then wash every part of me. Like, give me a sponge bath, Jesus. Because like, not only do my feet need to be washed, but like, so does my back, that spot that you can never really reach, that probably is the dirtiest part of your whole entire body, because you can't get in the middle of your back. That's impossible. And Peter's like, wash every single part of me. Like, if that's the case, in order to belong to you, you have to wash me, wash my whole body. And so I just think that's like crazy. So Jesus is doing this. He's being a servant, taking the position of a servant. He's serving God by serving his friends. And Peter rejects it, but then he changes his mind. And he's like, well, okay, Jesus, then wash my feet. So after all of this is over, Jesus has washed these feet. Awesome. He asks them a question. And the story continues in verse 12. The verse says, after washing their feet, Jesus put on his robe again and sat down. And ask, do you understand what I was just doing? And up until this point, it's like, Jesus really hasn't explained why he's doing what he's doing. He hasn't really given us any clues as to why it is he's taking this low position as a servant when he's God, and why he's washing his disciples' feet instead of a servant at this home. And so he asks them this question, and he's like, do you guys know what I'm even doing? Because clearly Peter was a little confused, and I'm sure everyone else had the same things to say as Peter did. And so Jesus tells us why he did what he did, and that's in verse 13. And he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So Jesus tells us that he has set before us an example for us to follow. Awesome. We now know what it's like to serve, and we now know that we need to be like Jesus in this way, serve others, because that's how we serve God. We're obeying God by serving others, and as we do that, we're serving him as well. Jesus says that's how we serve, and that this is an example to follow. And when we do those things, he says, now that you're aware that serving others is serving God, God's going to bless you when you do those things. So that's awesome. That is awesome. And that gives us a principle worthy of living by. That gives us something that if you get anything out of this today at all, get this. It's that when we serve, we grow. When we serve, we grow. When we serve others and in relation to that, serve God, we grow closer to Jesus. And I think that's something we all want. If you're a follower of Jesus, or even if you aren't, you might be asking questions. You might want to know Jesus. And if you do know him, you probably want to grow closer to him. That's something, I mean, that's the reason we live this life. And let me tell you, when we serve, serving is a way to grow closer to Jesus. And I think that serving is something that we cannot remove from the Christian walk. Serving is something that we cannot take out of our journey closer to Jesus, because if we do, we will never grow closer to Jesus. It is something that is so important to us that we can never forget. And so when I play drums, sometimes I play drums here at Compass. And when I started learning how to play drums, we do these things called rudiments. I've heard that they're similar to like learning scales on guitar, but I don't really know what that means. So rudiments are just like these little packages of, not physical packages, they're like notes, but little packages of sticking patterns that you learn. And that's how you like practice drums. That's how you learn how to play drums. And they're weird things. They're like weird, they're named super weird things like paradiddle-diddles. And what that is, a paradiddle-diddle is a combination of notes that is just right, left, right, right, left, left. So you just play that. You literally, like you sit down at your drum throne, and you have your practice pad, and you're just like, da 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 da, and you just do that for like 30 minutes. And you start off like super slow. You're like, da da da. And then you speed it up like after a few weeks or whatever, and eventually like da 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 da, and it's like awesome. You're like, wow, I'm so good at drums now. But that's something that you have to do. And so when I started playing drums in fifth grade, I was in fifth grade band. I played the snare drum at Grove Elementary School, and we would meet in the PE closet at Grove in the gym because our drums were way too loud for anybody else to like want to care about us. So they literally put us with like these subpar dodgeballs and traffic cones in this PE closet because they're like, oh, that's where like the six people who play snare drum can go. And so we went in there with our teacher, which like when I think about it, that's sketchy. Like going into this closet with my PE, like that is some sketchy stuff. Why did I do that? Like, I don't know. I must have really wanted to play the drums. Like, so we would go in this closet, we'd close the door, and all of us are just like, dot, 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 like, and it's just like we're doing these rudiments, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it because I was like, I want to be like a rock star. I want to play drum solos. And like last time I heard, the drum solo wasn't a paradiddle-diddle. Like I didn't see like some drummer. He wasn't like right, left, right, right, left, left, right, left, right, right, left, left, that, that, that. Like that's not what I hear when I hear drum solos. Like, is that what you hear when you hear drum solos? Like, am I missing something? And I was like, so this is dumb. I hate the snare drum. I hate drums, and I quit. And I quit the snare. Well, I didn't quit. I just finished out the year. And then I was like, I'm never doing that again because that was the worst and I hated it. But I quickly realized as I started taking drum lessons, the full drum set, I was like, man, like anything that's everything is a rudiment. Like rudiments are the building blocks of how I play drums. And so I was actually like, I had to spend extra time on my rudiments once I started playing the drum set, because it was like, that was my weak point. That's where I lacked. And serving is a lot like doing your rudiments. Serving is a lot like practicing your rudiments because we have to practice serving. We can't just become this person who's awesome at serving and does all these awesome things and is like super generous and like everybody loves, because if we never practice serving, we're never going to get good at it. If you never practice your rudiments, you're never going to be able to become a rock star and play a drum solo because you can't play drums. You get lost. And the serving is the exact same way. And that's the thing. If I would have never practiced my rudiments, I would not be able to play on Sunday mornings. I would not be able to play the things that I can play on the drums because I never practiced. The things that sucked, like I said earlier, a lot of times we think that serving sucks. It has to, because that's like the only way we get credit for it in God's eyes. And if that's the case, like, I want no part of that. But that's not the case. Serving doesn't have to be that. When we know the incentive of serving, it's no longer like this sucky rudiment in a PE closet with your teacher. Like, it becomes this awesome drum solo that you're playing as a rock star because you've practiced, you've put in the time. I still practice my rudiments today. You never like reach an end. I still, every single day, especially during the summer, I come home and I'm like, I need to get better at drums. So I have all this time on my hands and I'm just like, and it's really boring still. Doesn't, like, it's still not the most fun thing, but I can also walk 2 feet to my left, get on my drum set and play songs that I love to hear because I've practiced my rudiments. And so serving is the same way. We think it has to be uncomfortable, or we think that it has to just kind of be not fun, this thing that we're forced to do because we're always told to do it by other Christians. And when we become a Christian, it's like, well, good Christians serve. You're like, well, okay, I'll go practice my rudiments. I hate it. I don't understand it, but I'll do it, I guess. And that's not what I want serving to be. And that's what Jesus shows us. Jesus shows us that when we serve others, we're obeying God. And as we obey God, we grow closer to Jesus. And that's what when we serve, we grow means. The incentive to serving is a closer relationship to Jesus. And I know that might sound like some cop-out, because like you probably wanted me to say like, oh, the incentive to serving is that every time you serve, Compass is going to give you $10. Like, but that, like, no, if that's your incentive for serving, I'm sorry, because a closer relationship to Jesus is ultimately what every single one of us in this room probably wants. When we serve, we grow. And we have to remember that, and that makes it so that serving isn't just this energy-sucking, tiring thing that we do because we feel like we're supposed to. It becomes this rewarding thing that we do because not only do we care about other people, but we know that doing it is practicing our rudiments. We know that doing it is getting us closer to Jesus. And this principle is not just something that Jesus came up with off the top of his head as he was in this situation. The Bible that Jesus read is what we know as the Old Testament, because Jesus was like living the New Testament. He was creating it by his life. And so he didn't have it to read, but he did have the Old Testament to read. And there's a verse in Proverbs that exemplifies this in a great way. I love the wording of this verse. It says, "If you see your enemy hungry, go buy him lunch. If he's thirsty, bring him a drink. Your generosity and service will surprise him with goodness, and God will look after you." We're going to surprise people when we serve them. And just like Chris and Joel have both shared, serving is something that takes effort to do. We have to move from those crowds to conversations. We have to ask the questions. We have to realize that we are someone's hope and that's a responsibility that we hold. But we also know that when we do those things, Jesus has taught us that God looks after us when we do those things. And that's awesome. God looks after us because he wants us to be closer to him. God doesn't want it to be hard for us to get closer to him. He doesn't want it to be like this uphill battle that we have to fight. He wants it to be easy. And so he gives us things like this that just says, your generosity and service will surprise the people you're serving with goodness. And God's going to look after you for doing those things. God lays out a path for us to be able to grow closer to him because that's what he wants of us. He wants us close to him. Why wouldn't he? He created us. But we have to work for it. So when we serve, we grow. And as I've said already, in like 6 days on Saturday, we have the Day of Hope. And if you've never practiced serving, or if you think you have to like be good at it in order to do it, join us on Saturday. It's going to be awesome. It's not going to be like this weird, uncomfortable thing in this PE closet. Like it's going to be with the people that you're sitting next to. It's going to be hanging out and having fun and serving our community. And all of that is going to create us to give us opportunities to grow closer to Jesus because we're serving others. And that's exactly what Jesus has taught us. That's what God tells us. So I'd encourage you, look at your welcome packet, go online, sign up for Day of Hope. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to sign up for the park renovation and it's going to be awesome. I think a few of us other college students are going to do that too. So join us. It's going to be sweet. If you've never practiced, know that this is the perfect opportunity and environment to practice serving because that's what we're all doing. You never reach an end. You never stop practicing. You continue to do it until the end of your life. And I would love for all of us here in this room, I would love for our family of churches, I would love for Compass to be known for our service to our community. That would be awesome. If the first thing people thought of when they thought of Compass was, wow, they seriously serve their community well. That would be amazing. That's what I want. I want us to be people who others can rely on when they need a meal brought to their home or when they need something done on their back porch or they need whatever. I want us to be the people that are the first responders to people in this community. And it doesn't have to be this inconvenient, tiresome event. Please understand that. I care about that a lot. Serving does not have to be this just energy sucking thing that gets so boring and so tiring and it's not fun. And that's not what Jesus has designed serving to be. He's designed it to help us move closer to Jesus. So please let's remember that serving is something that we cannot remove from our relationship with God because it's what grows us closer to Jesus. Now, there might be some of you in this room that think that you're awesome at serving and that serving is something that you've grown up doing for your whole life. And you understand that and you get that and you know why you do it and you know how to do it and you love it. Awesome. And there's some of you in this room that are like, man, serving has always been something that I felt like I've had to do, but I've never necessarily enjoyed it because it's just been kind of, I don't know, there hasn't ever been a reason for me to serve, or every time I do, I just feel tired, or I just have less money, or I just have less time. And so I want to pray for both of those groups of people right now. So if you'd bow your heads, just let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the lessons you teach us through your word. Thank you so much for giving us clear pathways in the Bible that we can just see things like serving is required to grow closer to you. Thank you for that. And God, I pray right now for every single person in this room. I pray for the people who serving is almost a second nature to them. God, I pray that you continue to fuel their service and generosity to their communities, to the people in their lives. And I pray that you encourage them and you refresh them in their service. I pray that they can be living examples of growing closer to you because of serving. And God, I also pray for the people in this room where serving has been hard. Serving has been a struggle throughout their lives. God, I pray for those people that you would give them opportunities and experiences that teach them that when we serve, we grow closer to you, Jesus. Give them opportunities. Give us opportunities to be your church on the move, God. I pray that we take what we learn in these four walls and we take it out into our community, God, and we are living examples of your love, your service, and your generosity that you have for us as people. Thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. Thank you so much for Compass and every single person in this room. I pray that you bless every single person in this room today. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.